Well, hello, daytime television fans, and welcome to the fourth season premiere of The Chat. I'm Casey Hutchison, and I'm very happy to be joined by Alan Serapa and, of course, the always amazing and beautiful Tiggs. So let's get into everything. Tiggs, how are you, and how was your hiatus from the show?
I'm fine, Casey. My hiatus was been 3 weeks. They were good. Like I said, they went by quick. Not that I didn't miss you guys, but it was pretty good.
Okay.
I'm kind of sad that, you know, the holidays are over. My tree's still up. I need to take it down. I'm just being lazy.
Oh, shocker, you being the lazy one on the podcast. And then Alan, what did you do over the break?
Nothing. Just watch TV and movies. I was going to stay in the house.
Well, and, you know, I kept up with your column, you know, especially on how to fire Ron Calavardi and even checking out your firing Josh Griffith list on Twitter. So you were clearly busy.
Yes, one all head writers get fired, except the ones at GX right now. They're doing a good job.
And our reigning supreme queen, D, has made her triumphant return to the chat. Miss D, how are you, darling? We have missed you so, so very much.
You be lying, Casey, but I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, D, my goodness, it's just great to have you back. I guess before we hop into everything, D, let's kind of backtrack with you. What would you name as the best and worst soap operas from last year, D?
My life for the worst. Let's see.
She's back, folks.
Oh, wait. Best and worst? Best General Hospital without a fail. No doubt. Worst? Three-way tie. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. I need to stop. I would probably say for worst soap opera, not necessarily that it's the worst soap opera, just in terms of drama or lack thereof, I would say Young and the Restless. It's just, there's no drama going on. I mean, when there's more drama on Bold and the Beautiful, you know we have a problem. I don't necessarily like the storylines that all of them that are happening per se, but Days hasn't been the absolute worst. So I would just say there's action and it's picking up now. So I would probably say for the past worst, I would say Young and the Restless, only because nothing major happened. Like, I can't even think of anything off the top of my head, which is bad.
No, me neither. And, you know, of course, the ratings do back you up. So as the year came to a close, we found out the averages for all soaps. Now, of course, this didn't factor in hiatus. You know, this only factored in new episodes because that's the only thing that would get counted during the television season. And The Young and the Restless, from its last TV season to last year, lost on average 500,000 viewers. So, Dee, go ahead and talk about that a little bit and how that makes you feel as a longtime viewer of Y&R.
I guess the problem that I have with it is that the setup is there for some really good stories. The setup is there, but the execution just needs a lot of work. It's like there should be drama happening because, I mean, there's all these little different pieces and factors going on, but then you're like, that's it. You're left wanting. It's kind of like when you're having sex and the other person gets off before you and then you're sitting there like, are you serious? That was it? So I would probably say they lost a lot of viewers because COVID was happening, you know. But even before, there wasn't a lot of action going on Young and the Restless. So I'm not surprised that they lost as many viewers as they did. They focused on couples that nobody cared about. They focused on characters entirely too much, like Adam and Billy, and their man pain. And they're still focusing on Adam and Billy. And so I can see why people are off-put. I mean, you have couples that you want to see, characters that you want to see, and you don't see them. But then there's some people, Chelsea, that you see 12 days a week, and you're over it. And you're just like, can we see something else? I mean, can we? And it sucks because it's Young and the Restless. It's like a prerequisite of soaps that you're supposed to love Young and the Restless. And the fact that I can miss it and go back and watch a couple of, you know, fast forward just to the people that I want to see, but for the most part not feel bad that I missed an episode, means that they need to make some changes. They need to shake things up, and they need to do it like yesterday, because I'm sorry, I really don't care about Abby. I don't care about her, you know, trying to have a baby. I've never cared about Abby ever since, no offense, ever since Melissa Lordway came. I just don't care about Abby anymore, so I really don't want to see that. There's just certain people that you see, that the couples that you want to see, you don't see. And so you're just like, ugh, what is the point? But yeah, I mean, see why they're down.
You've got Melody Thomas Scott getting two episodes. My God, Melody Thomas Scott must play a Winters now, because she's shown on the 1st and the 15th. but yeah,
I guess,
you know,
it's Newman Thursdays or whatever, but
it's like Maitland Mondays, love Beth,
or
Maitland.
Something, but it just I mean, you don't see the people that you want to see. You'll see some Abbotts, but it's not the Abbotts you want to see, or you'll see some Newmans. I mean, who really wants to watch Victoria making bitch face and being evil and whatever? Give her a man, she needs some dick. Maybe if she got some, we would be moving somewhere, but knowing her, she's probably going to be chasing after Billy again, so let me shut up.
Well, and like, you know, you brought up a really good point. So I was playing catch up on Y&R, and I'm still behind. But
you
there was...
You didn't miss anything.
You didn't miss anything. Save yourself. Save yourself.
I'm like, you know, it's a prerequisite. I've got to watch my Y&R no matter what. But, you know, there was about two very solid weeks. You know, the week of the 12,000th episode was really good. And then the week after that was really good as well. And I really examined.
Thank you, Trisha Cast.
Yeah, exactly. And I really had to examine, you know, why those weeks were so good. And I'm like, oh, because Trisha Cast, Lori Lee Bell, Jess Walton, and Tracy Bregman, and Melody Thomas Scott, like all those great diva matriarch type women were on the front burner. And I loved, you know, like Jill having the conversation with Victoria, like get Billy out of town, and, you know, put him somewhere on an island. And I just felt like the show was really coming together. And I was like, oh, finally a turning point. And then literally after those 2 weeks were done, and after Trisha Cast left, it was like back to,
and we had a chance that didn't hate P Flag and the NAACP. So
that was actually,
oh my God.
You got to see the characters that you expect to see when you watch Young and the Restless. And yes, it was nice. It was exactly. Like it was taking you back to something familiar that you know, and then you get thrust back into Newbie Central, or, you know, with people that you, I'm just tired. I love Mark Grossman. Mark Grossman, I would honestly consider having his babies, and you know how I feel about kids, but I don't want to see him 5 days a week. Like, I don't, and I'm sorry. Oh, I just don't.
And I feel the same way, you know.
The same scenes over and over and over again.
Exactly. And I love, I even love Melissa Claire Egan, but my God, I don't need her 5 days a week and twice on Sundays either. You know,
I mean, Chelsea, you're not... have some Winters Wednesdays. I am so over Chelsea.
Can her and Melody Thomas
schedule, please? Can we?
Can her Melody trade schedules? I just need, my God, I just need something on the show of substance to happen. I'm glad to have, you know, Dana Sparks on, woohoo for all the Passions fans. But
oh, I read that. I'm like, don't nobody give a damn about no Grace Bennett in 2021.
Damn it, Grace.
Not Grace. Oh, God.
He went there.
He did.
No, don't nobody give a damn. She could have kept her ass and her tomato soup cake where the hell she was. She could have stayed in Harmony.
People don't even really like race one of the series on Passions to begin with, so.
Well, anyway, so as I was going to say.
We try so hard. We try so hard with this show. I try so hard.
I don't understand it. Does Josh Griffith have Margot Wayne on a stripper pole and he gonna spread the pictures out if he get fired? I don't understand.
No, not Margot Wayne.
Margot Wayne ain't doing the Busted Challenge on TikTok and she didn't publish it, so he just got the video. Fire me if you want to, Margot. I got you, bitch. I'm like, it's been 2 years and the ratings are awful for YNR. Like I said, all we need is for Quinn to blow up a damn fashion show in Morocco some damn way, and Bo gonna be the number one. So, like, what is going on?
My main issue is, you know, you talk about those 2 years, and, you know, let's look at what we had previously with Mal Young. Certainly not my favorite by any means. You know, there were a lot of things done where even he was looking a little Dina Higley-ish.
That bastard killed Hillary.
Exactly. But I will say,
killing Hillary and the Jack paternity crap, I was kind of hype with that.
I will say, however, that
he beat women.
His show.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
How did you forget? But anyway, his show did not look terrible. I think that's my main problem with Y&R first. Like, how the show looks now immediately takes me out of the story. Well, I use story loosely.
And now, yeah, this actually has story structure in the stories. You might not like the story, but there's actual structure. The show now is just written week to week.
Well, and he had, you know, towards the end there, his last 6 months were kind of good because all his shit was climaxing.
He figured it out.
He did.
At the end, towards the end, he figured out how to do it, but by that point, people were pissed.
Yeah, fans had turned on him.
Yeah, like everything he did to JT, Hillary being dead.
The Murder Club, we were so over that.
Yeah, meddling with Jack fraternity.
But I just remember
a UK soap and it didn't work. And then he finally got the memo and said, oh shit, they just like American shit. It was too late.
Well, and then, you know, we had Lauren Lott, you know, we had Nomi Gonzalez. I could see his plan. Mariah and Tessa were getting the story, you know, with the stalker and everything that he never got to write and develop. You know, I was so interested, even though we all knew it was going to be Adam, I was so interested in who was behind the Newman walls. And, you know, I was just, Mal Young finally understood what Y&R was and how to do a daytime show over here. And then he was booted out in favor of
Doctor. I know you are not about to have me on this show defending Mal Young. What the,
I know,
what
but you know,
is so
anything, his Y&R was clearly better the last 6 months than what we've gotten the last 2 years.
Hell, it's a sad day when Chuck fucking Pratt was Shakespeare compared to this shit we watch.
It's right a now. Sad day when I would rather watch Stacey Hyduck, you know, slash the Emily Peterson painting over what right. we have now.
I'm telling you, Casey, I damn near would rather watch So Long, Sister Killer. Because this shit is ridiculous.
It's look, like at least GH that story was. Had Tracy Bregman.
It's like how GH was from 2018 until 6 months ago. There's no direction. There's no storyline. There's no structure. The Newmans are like Nick and Victoria and Victor and Nikki. They're pretty much doing the same thing Sonny and Carly were doing. They were just existing, inserting themselves into everybody else's storylines and scenes. They're just existing. There's nothing going on with them.
The only time this show feels like itself is one, when Faith's story is playing out on screen, and two, when Janice Faria Esser writes an episode. That's the only time this show ever feels like itself. Otherwise, it's like, why are we devoting 37 minutes a day to a show that's like an episode of Seinfeld where nothing happens?
It's like, there's more action going on in Mayberry, goddammit, than Genoa City, Wisconsin.
It feels like Mayberry.
Obviously, Josh Griffith.
Go ahead.
He knows how to write a show. We've seen it before. We saw it on Live to Live. We saw it at the start of the day. So then he went very dark. But at least he has stories, and he doesn't have any freaking stories now.
We saw that Sunset Beach. I loved Sunset Beach.
That was my show.
Yeah, yeah, honestly, yes. Vanessa and Michael. Oh, Lord. I loved me. Annie and Meg. And, ooh, I loved me some Sunset Beach.
And the damn shockwave.
I honestly feel like Josh wants to write these good stories, and then some dummy comes in and says, oh, that's a good story. Why don't you give it to this person that nobody cares about? You know, or it starts out being one thing, and then it's like somebody gets involved, and then it turns into something else. Because you see the setup for some really good stuff coming up in here. Maybe if I cared about Chance more, and I'm taking, you know, that man and his, you know, political, personal, whatever out of it, I don't care about Chance. I really don't. So I don't care that Abby can't have a baby, you know, and I probably should care, but I don't. But then again, it also has to do with the portrayer too, because I really don't like Abby anymore.
Well, and Dee, I feel the same way, you know.
And it sucks because I should care.
Exactly. If you strip away Donnie's portrayal, there's still nothing to the character of Chance. You know, mm-hmm. I do give Maria credit. Chance was very interesting under her run as kind of the romantic hero. And I loved he and Chloe together. And, you know, when, you know, Bianca got bitch slapped by, you know, Maggie and Frankie, you know, I really loved Chance under Maria. But then this Chance comes back and it's like, there's no substance to that character whatsoever.
He's just taking up space.
Yeah,
exactly. He's just there to check a legacy character box. That's all.
I never thought I would want a Chancellor gone from Y&R.
Because they waited too long. When he came on the show, first off, political beliefs aside, the boy is too old. He looked too old. He's not a great actor. And he just sticks out like a sore thumb. That's all there is to it. He was a bad recast.
Terrible recast.
They waited too long to bring back Nina, and I get it. I know that Trisha Cass lost her husband, and you know, they probably was giving her time to, you know, get her bearings together, but it was that. He wasn't in enough scenes with Jill. He just, like, besides him being Chance, you wouldn't have known he was a damn Chance.
He wasn't in enough scenes with anybody. I mean, he's only had like two scenes with Chloe, and that was the last story Chance had. And, you know, all this Vegas stuff, and Phyllis knows the truth, but she's never going to reveal it. And they're still talking about Vegas. And
let's not even get started with that.
It's a mess.
Michelle fucking Stafford is a glorified extra.
Dad.
Alan, would you like to? Alan, would you like to speak on the Chance storyline? I know it's your favorite.
There goes that messy voice again. Oh God, here it comes.
Let it rip, Alan.
Go ahead, baby.
Every fucking few years, Y&R gets in their head. They want to hire a farm boy as a legacy character. Because remember, Burgess Jenkins as Billy. Ooh. He was so terrible. He looked so old. Why did they cast him as lad? And Donnie Bowe was the same fucking thing. Why did they pick him? He looks like Jed fucking Clampett. Why? Why? Are they dumb?
Can you imagine if Donnie Boaz was playing the role of Billy instead?
Sir, this is a target. No.
Oh, I cracked myself up.
They so close over there, they would have brought that motherfucker on as Noah. Like, what the hell is that?
You know what? I would have drove.
Went to Entertainment Tonight. She would have went to Entertainment Weekly. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Bro, her son looks older than her. That's just tragic.
Well, and you know, I will say that Trisha and Justin Gaston had so great mother-son chemistry together. It's like you would have thought Justin Gaston was a Kimberly McCalla in that role and had played Chance all along.
He was the perfect age. He had the perfect look. He looks like Tom Beard's non-acting
he
ass.
Does.
He looks like he could be her son and not her love interest. That's
exactly.
Why.
Not a love interest.
And
be like, Neiman got an older man.
And Melissa Orway finally had somebody I liked her with. They were so fucking adorable.
Well, I hope you like them because they together in real life, Tiggs. Don't
that
you know?
Would have been tragic if she would have had no chemistry with her husband. Well,
and it felt like
soap
opera. You know, the best thing about that was finally we got to see a love scene on TV again from this show. They didn't have to stand 85 feet apart. They got to touch and kiss. That wedding, oh my God, can you imagine how the wedding would have been if they wouldn't have let Donnie would have been standing by Catherine's portrait, and Melissa would have been standing by the chairs over by the reading nook. I mean,
and the better for her, because then she wouldn't have got the Rona. So
no,
I'm just saying.
Stop. No.
I'm just saying, I mean, y'all don't understand how I stood up and hollered when Devon got to hug Amanda. I was like, oh my God, it's Brighton and Michelle. That's what I'm talking about. That's the only thing I'm still here for. I'm not playing with you.
Yeah,
I'm
there
for Devon, for Amanda, and I'm there for Skyle. And other than that...
And I'm also here for Brittany's very cute haircut.
Okay. I just, like I said, and they pissed me off with this whole bowl crossover. Y'all didn't do this for Sheila fucking Carter, but y'all doing this so Skyle can go dig up dirt on some damn salad.
They had Lauren's best friend daughter go to eat at El Giardino, and Sheila Carter doesn't serve them food and go, oh, Summer, you've grown up nice. Remember when I looked like your mother? Dun, dun, dun.
They talked about a crossover, and I guess they just wanted to see if it would even work out first, but I just feel like y'all had a Zoom call. I think y'all should have had a series of Zoom calls because there wasn't enough interaction.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Wasn't enough. Like, if you're going to cross over, I mean cross over. I need interaction.
Yes.
I was waiting to see Summer and Austin. I'm sorry. But I didn't get to see. I didn't get what I wanted. I was like,
I was waiting, you know. I don't.
Now, that would have been cute if Summer would have ran into Thomas and got spooked a little bit, like,
They showed a picture of Pearson Faudet's Thomas on Young and the Restless, which was weird. They usually don't acknowledge recasts on shows.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's
but
just
he's fine though. So you know,
that crossover could have been something. And
like D said, they have everything there. It's like having a pot of spaghetti with all the ingredients there, but you ain't added a lick of goddamn.
Lauren should have been. You know, can you imagine Lauren, you know, and Eric could have had scenes in the Forrester Mansion, and you know, Lauren could have met with Brooke again, like, oh, how are you, Brooke? And she's like, I'm doing well, Lauren. And
right,
you know,
that would
have
made more sense. That would have made more sense. Like, the minute Lauren hired that girl, she should have been like,
yes.
You know what? Wait a minute. You know what? I'll get back to you tomorrow. Have a room at the Grand Phoenix on me for the night. And if shit don't check out, bitch, I'm getting you kicked out. And I would have called Phyllis.
The generational aspect.
Check out, kick her out. And she could have LA her damn self.
You know, Sally is still propping herself up as, you know, when Jack was like, well, what's your background? And she's like, Spectra Fashions. I'm like, Lauren should have flown to LA, found out all that happened with Spectra Fashions, with the building with Bill and when it exploded and everything else to find out that Sally couldn't salvage it after all. You know, the generational aspect was not there in that crossover. It could have been like done so much better.
It would have been so cute if Lauren would have went to LA to see Bill in his office, to see Tracy Bregman with Don Diamond again. They do
oh
a
my
blur,
God,
like,
yes.
Like, all right, Bill.
And then Heather Tom could have walked in.
And them have sex in that office. Yeah, get it, because Bill ain't getting no, he ain't getting good booty right now.
Okay, and then Lois Cirillo could have caught them, and Victoria Newman could found, oh, sorry, Victoria.
Right,
because
you know, Quinn
one.
Wouldn't like her. Like, you know, Lauren
Quinn don't like bitchy. Anybody, but.
Quinn could have been bitchy.
I
so
love
Lauren,
Quinn.
Lauren could have been like, oh, Eric finally dumped you, huh? Well, it's about time. Just stuff like that. Like, it could have really been something. And like everybody said on Twitter, if Sally's going to be with Jack, I need her to Jill Phelps for that motherfucker.
Jill Fahrenthalps, I will tell you, you know, Jill Fahrenthalps did better at a crossover for Y&R's 40th with Victor and Nikki's wedding than they're doing right now. You know, when she brought Eric on, you know, Eric interacted with everybody that he's ever had a storyline with from Y&R. And, you know, they talked about Stephanie and, you know, they talked about and they hit every beat with just one character on Y&R. But yet when they do this crossover, it's just a mess. There was no,
because if there was no
story substance.
There was no thought into it. It was just like,
no.
Guys, guess what? Wouldn't it be fun if Skyle went to L.A.? Wouldn't that be great? They could be outside because of the Rona. We won't have to have too many sets.
They could have filmed them at the beach or something and, you know, at least made it worthwhile.
Just do what they did 5 years ago and film them on top of the CBS television studio set roof. Remember when Hillary went to L.A. to visit Julie Chin-Lunez and the girls at the talk?
Child, that's a nice segue. Okay.
See, you caught it.
Because them motherfuckers ain't at the top of the building no more.
They ain't at the top of nothing anymore, but we're not going to go there.
So anyway, yeah, let's talk about the talk. So ratings have continuously come out throughout the holidays and the first set of January for daytime programming. And CBS, not only is Y&R in trouble, but the talk remains in trouble as well. It is the lowest rated daytime program across all the three major networks, only averaging a 1.4 in total viewership. And even Days of Our Lives is beating the show. So
why are you going to say it like even Days of Our Lives? Like, how many years? Okay. Which other Days of Our Lives? No, sir.
Right, he said like Days of Our Lives and Aaron Rewind since 1996. Like even the 1993 episode of Days of Our Lives where Sammy kicked that bell and sold on the black market got more ratings than that bullshit.
So anyway, Alan, let's go to you. What do you think of the talk continuing to be a sinking ship as it tries to quote unquote rebrand itself?
This is going to be last season of the Let Damn Show. Because no one cares about it. Like, hire two nobodies, no disrespect, to be the new co-host, two cheap nobodies. No one cares about them. No one cares about the show. It's over. Bye.
Alan.
Well, wow, Alan, just tell us how you feel, son.
Look, I just want our listeners to know. So Alan's sitting in this big ass recliner right now, and he's got the snowman behind him, and all he goes is bye.
I'm telling you, like Alan be sitting up there like he goddamn Dr. Claw, goddamn. Like he petting some damn cat and shit. Like he don't give a damn.
Oh, so he's one of these days. Okay, so he's gonna turn into Zoe with the accent. Okay, I got you.
So
back when we used to like her.
Oh. So Dee, let's go to you as well. You know, so what do you think the talk can do, if anything, to survive even like one more season?
They might as well make this their last season because I'm sorry. You know, I'm not really a fan of, you know, talk shows in general. And that one is boring. Like, there's nothing on there that makes me want to watch it. And I mean, it's just, I don't really see how they can salvage that. There's all they can do is bring back their original hosts, and they're not going to do that. So,
okay.
You might as well just stick a fork in it.
Julie Chen is somewhere
laughing.
Laughing.
just howling.
Kicking along and laughing and having a good
time. You know she is.
She looking like, oh, y'all push me out, bitch, and because of Big Brother, I'm still getting the CBS check. What? And my shit coming back on next season.
And Aisha Tyler, she's probably relaxing on a beach with Leo Remini and Holly Robinson Pete and everybody.
Valid points were made.
Oh, yeah. Liam Women is doing just fine. She just got her new game show on the Game Show Network. My girl is eating.
And you know damn good and well, Marie Osmond, the woman who actually brought in the viewership, is probably sitting somewhere pretty filing her nails.
It's like, how don't you keep Marie Osmond? Like, everybody fucking loves Marie. We stopped giving a fuck about Donnie about 15 years ago, but everybody loves Marie.
Well, originally there was backstage conflicts between her and Sharon Osbourne, allegedly.
Yep, good. Say that word, Alan. We ain't going down.
But at this stage in the game, no. Marie Osmond is way more important than damn Sharon Osbourne. Y'all remember that talk show back in, like, what, 1999 that didn't last when she was just sitting on the couch in a loft or some shit like that? Did nobody give a fuck about that. Sharon Osbourne can go. Cheryl Underwood can go with her conservative ass. She can go, too. I'd rather see NeNe Leakes in that motherfucker than fucking Cheryl Underwood.
I want to just see NeNe Leakes on her own talk show. I don't need NeNe Leakes to be pushed out by a bunch of white women at the CBS television city.
Oh, yeah, never mind. She'll be suing them like she's trying to sue Bravo.
Look, it's going to be her, Victoria Rowell, and everybody.
No, you already know what's going to happen, Casey. Coming in September, Gabrielle Cattery and, I don't know, Ricky Schroeder, racist ass, hosting Password. That's what the hell we going to get.
Why'd your voice get Password? No, I'm just going to say, get ready for Tori Spelling to have the first episode of her talk show be the 90210 reunion.
Show.
I can see it already. Look, Tori Spelling's going to walk out, say, this is a talk show for you. And then all of a sudden, da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na.
And y'all are reinforcing why I don't watch talk shows. Thanks.
Well, yeah, and let's look. My type of talk show is a Sally, Jesse, Raphael, Donahue, and Oprah, the occasional Wendy Williams if I'm homesick and my soaps are done.
Maury Montel.
Yes.
Because you already knew when the new season came and Sally, Jesse got some new red frame glasses, oh, you know some shit was about to go down. Ooh, Jenny Jones.
And you know, if Phil Donahue got a new microphone for his voice to project, shit was going to get good.
Okay, so, D, I know you don't really care for talk shows, but you know about Niecy Nass getting her talk show. Would you take a glance at Niecy?
It depends. I'd probably watch the first one or the second one, and then if it was trash, you would never see me again.
I love Niecy, but I think Niecy needs to be on a panel. I don't know if I want to see Niecy by herself.
No, I don't want to see Niecy. To me, is like Tyra Banks. I can't watch a full hour of them.
Yeah, because to be honest, like, I would have rather seen like Niecy Nash on The Real instead of
all of them. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, child, you're saying a word. No, you are saying a word, D. Because The Real needs a retooling like hell. Don't nobody give a damn about none of them.
She's bringing Tamar back. Playing,
that's the last time I cared about that show.
The thing about Tamar is, I know that Tamar was difficult to work with, and Tamar just never felt like she wanted to be there.
Not at all. To me, she always came very unprepared. She always looked like she was checking out.
She was hanging the rest of them.
Tamar said it. She said the only person she liked was Tamara. She said that.
I used to love The Real. You know, The Real used to be a really great show, and then it just kind of lost itself. And, you know, I tell you what, you can tell they're not throwing any budget at that show, because I tuned into an episode last week and, ooh, it was looking rough.
Yeah, because that's all that they still doing the show from home. And I'm just like,
not even good graphics. At least ABC sent all the women at The View a green screen so they could have the studio background. I mean, oh, you got Lonnie Love glitching all the damn time, and it's just a mess over there. I mean,
like I said, I would have much rather had Lonnie Love over there than Garcelle. Garcelle, girl, you are a housewife. You don't need that damn money. And she don't fit in. Like, Garcelle is classy. Those is rats. You got Jeannie Mai over there with Young Jeezy. You got Adrian Balon over there with some church queen. You got Lonnie Love over there with that white man. They're like, he was at the Capitol during the terrorist.
Stop. Stop.
Sir, what?
Sir, you this is a podcast.
You look.
Tiggs, this is not the View, and you are not Joy Behar. Take two steps back.
I'm just saying. Garcelle's too classy for that trash.
Oh my God.
Okay, points were made, but I don't want to agree because I'm not trying to get sued. No, I'm just kidding. Like, they're gonna listen, though. They're not gonna listen.
They said it was a joke. Still. We did not say that.
Yes, oh, our listenership.
I'm sorry, allegedly, Casey. Allegedly.
No, don't do it for me, child. I'm not the one who said it. Do it for yourself.
Allegedly, Tiggs.
Do it for the vibe.
Go ahead and come for me. I ain't got no damn money.
This is like when I named Scott Clifton.
If you want that, you can have it.
This is like when I named Scott Clifton as worst actor on our last podcast.
you wasn't shit for that, Casey.
I'm just saying. Really, I had
Casey's good defense. Scott Clifton's acting has been better than it has been lately.
Okay, anyway.
You always defend him. You always defend Casey and his bullshit, so that does not count.
Did we all forget the fuck you from last season? Did we just forget that magically?
I'm just saying. He always be the first one defending you or whatever, just because he don't like Liam Spencer. Let's just keep it real. Do any of us?
I think Scott Clifton is kind of overplaying Liam, and so it's kind of bleeded over into his acting. I'm just saying.
Now look, I don't blame him for getting that hefty check, though. I mean, go on. You know,
because my whole thing is, you can clean yourself. Brad Bell, just write the checks. You don't want to write this show anymore. You've gotten lazy. You've gotten burned out. Give it to Michelle Valjean and just write the checks. Please.
So, speaking of somebody getting a check, Christian Alfonso is going to return to acting. She has signed on for a multi-picture deal of V.C. Andrews' Landry series of movies coming to Lifetime. So, Alan, will you be watching Christian Alfonso making her way back to acting?
Christian never left, baby. Let's get that straight, okay? Just in case if she's listening. I love you, Mama Hope, but no, she never left. I love her too,
but look, I can reenact Christian's Entertainment Tonight interview with that poor white man who didn't know anything about her, where she was like, I think I'm just done.
She's done with Days of Our Lives. She didn't say she was done with acting. She was done with Days of Our Lives because it pissed her off.
And so were 500,000 other viewers. But anyway, Alan, please continue.
No, I would not be watching. I'm pleased for fans of hers that like her and fans of entertainment that like V.C. Andrews, but I will not be watching.
Alan, you're just everything tonight. Bye, not watching. God. So yeah,
if you haven't read those books, apparently they're set in Louisiana, there's some incest and stuff like that. So I guess
there's incest in every V.C. Andrews book.
Except for
My Sweet Audrina. My Sweet Audrina is the only book that V.C. Andrews ever wrote where there was no incest anywhere in it. Obviously, I'm a fan because I know this off the top of my head.
No, but I love V.C. Andrews too, and I'll be watching these movies. Just like I did when they did that Flowers in the Attic with Jason Lewis. So anyway, Tig, so also Laura Lee Bell is slated to appear in these movies as well, co-starring along Christian Alfonso and a myriad of others. So will you be watching the movies?
I haven't heard about this V.C. Andrews, but I mean, I'm a ghetto bitch. I don't read like that. But like,
you've never heard of V.C. Andrews?
But you don't watch Lifetime?
I watch Lifetime sometimes.
Okay, because the movies come on Lifetime.
Come back on Friday.
So I just kind of figured that you would, even if you didn't read the books, you might have just, you know, because you watch Lifetime and because the movies come on and they're like in a little marathon thing, that you might have seen it. But there's no judgment.
No, yeah, like, I don't watch Lifetime like that. Like I said, I'm going to watch Little Women Atlanta when it come back. Rest in peace, Mimi.
Minnie. You didn't call spell the wrong name.
I'm going to watch Little Women.
Look, and Dee knows she is. We're going to watch the Salt and Pepper movie, and we're going to watch the Wendy Williams movie. So we
I'm going to definitely watch the... How you doing? I'm going to definitely be watching the Wendy Williams movie.
That's going to be a hot mess. I'm going to watch that.
But yeah, you know that's going to be a good hot mess. It's going to be Casey, like every time.
Casey, go ahead. You and Alan need to watch the Salt and Pepper movie too, because that's going to be hilarious too.
I was at the record.
Yeah, I'll watch.
I'm happy for Christian. Christian said, no, I'm tired of Ken Corday saying in my motherfucking face and only giving me a $65 book of food stamps a year. I'm gone. Okay.
Food stamps? Did you just say
You know what happened. Ali Sweeney then showed him that you can make that money in a fraction of the time with a fraction of the bullshit. With a fraction of the bullshit. And so now the sky's the limit. You're going to see none but soap stars on Hallmark and Lifetime. As soon as they get their little, I got a break coming up, let me go ahead and knock this movie out. I already know. And Hallmark and Lifetime just reeling it in because they know daytime stars are guaranteed watchers. You already know.
Remember how many millions upon millions of people tuned into those Jeannie Francis movies she did after she left Y&R. You know, it was like 4.3 million people watched Jeannie Francis' debut on the Hallmark channel. I was like, damn.
There were more people watching Hallmark than there were watching General Hospital, but we not going
to okay.
Okay.
There's more people watching Wayne Calls the Hot than there is Young and the Restless.
That latest Vivica A. Fox movie on Lifetime, because you know she got that overall deal. That had goddamn Jessica Morris up in it. I ain't seen Jim Rappaport in 20 years. I said, bitch!
Remember when we talked about her alleged assault case way back in like season 2?
Exactly. That's the last time we talked about her. And she looks great. I said, damn, Jim.
She does look pretty damn good.
That becomes you, bitch, because I couldn't stand Jim Rappaport.
Did you not watch her on Ladies Up the Lake? Did you not watch that miniseries
in Corday's book?
Okay. No, it is actually good.
Like I said, the only Rappaport I liked was Lindsay. Okay, I liked Will because I want to fuck him.
But we know what you wanted to do with him, Tiggs. Your voice.
Jessica hit it one time and got knocked up. I want to see what it was like, what it tastes like.
Look, you wanted Will from One Life to Live. D wants Will from Days of Our Lives.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Sometimes you want some cream in your coffee. Shit.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Hey, I don't know. Those you times, got it. You too.
Okay.
No.
Well, Casey, you know, how do you feel about Christian getting her coin at the Lifetime?
I am. Tiggs, you turned into the panel moderator in this episode. I've lost my job. Remember a bit ago, you said to Dee, so tell me about Niecy Nash's new talk show.
You got fired on your day off.
No, because I just want to know, Dee was saying she didn't want to like mess with talk shows like that. I'm like, well, is she gonna help her sister out when Niecy come along? And Dee was just like, if the bitch entertaining. I'm like, oh, okay.
If you're going to get my time, if you want my time, you better entertain me. I'm being real honest because I will turn you off in 2.2 seconds.
But that's how
exactly, just like I did to Katie. Katie Couric, I love you, but ooh, your talk show was not good.
But that's how it's been in the last 15 years, y'all. Like, these panel talk shows, like, it's hard to get a talk show host that's that entertaining and engaging by themselves. You know, Wendy... Love her or hate her, but Wendy is entertaining. And
I love Wendy because Wendy is the last of the standalone talk show hosts that knows her form so well that Wendy can fill an hour at the drop of a hat. I mean, Ellen
radio.
Yes, exactly. And Wendy used to do like 2-hour shows on radio.
Yep.
But you know, Ellen has kind of fallen by the wayside. If you just take the investigation out of it that happened, you know, Ellen's kind of lost her steam after 45 seasons or however many it's been. And you know, there's, you know, RuPaul couldn't do it, you know, his show didn't last beyond a 3-week sneak peek. Kelly Clarkson is kind of finding her footing a little more. I think if Kelly Clarkson does some more stuff throughout the hour that holds my interest a little bit more, I might be on board with her just a bit more. But Wendy Williams is kind of the only talk show host left who can hold a full solid hour of television.
Yeah.
Tamron Hall's okay. I watch her sometimes.
See, and I've never watched Tamron. I like Tamron Hall, but I've just never watched her show. But maybe I'll check it out sometime and see if another talk show host can hold my interest. But and then, it's always, and then,
you know, poor Rachel Ray hanging on by a thread. You know, she about to get canceled every season.
And Rachel Ray is the Days of Our Lives talk shows every season. God, I hear
Rachel Ray. They renew her ass on the bubble. They just let her know to her face. You know, you on the bubble, right? We only renewed you because you had about 5,000 more viewers than last season, right?
I think the reason why they renew her is because they haven't found anybody suitable enough to replace her. But the second they do, oh, she out.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing, you know. Coronavirus, this pandemic is saving these low-rated shows, and that's for all the networks, because, you know, I'm very excited for the Sex and the City reboot, but that's probably the only reason HBO Max picked that up, is because they're taking these for sure bets that will get any type of money in the door. And so, you know, if the talk thinks they're safe, if Rachel Ray thinks she's safe, if Ellen thinks she's safe, they've all got another thing coming, in my opinion, because, gee, like you said, as soon as they find somebody else, then they're done and it's curtains for them. I'm sorry, Rachel Ray. As soon as they find Imro Lagasse's fourth cousin twice removed, your show is canceled.
On a budget.
The reason why they're doing all these reboots is because they're so much cheaper to market than the original show.
Exactly. It's like, oh, Carrie Bradshaw's back. Okay, you automatically have like 2 million people watching that show right there.
You know, I mean, what? I'm going to let Twitter watch that for me and then let me know if I need to tune in, because I'm sorry.
I'll let you know, Dee. I'll let you know.
I don't trust you. So,
okay, I'll let Dee know. I'm more trustworthy, like, Casey.
I'm like, I don't trust you, Casey.
No, I don't fool around about my Sex in the City. I don't fool around about it.
You be liking is straight trash. So I'm like, nah, bro. I'm like, let me ask somebody else, someone that's a little bit more objective. You're just like, it's Sex in the City. I love it. I don't care. I know you.
Oh, no, I'm not. No, you asked me about that second movie in that fifth season. Ooh.
Anybody that said that they liked the Sex in the City 2 movie, you know what?
They're trash.
They're Helen Keller.
Even Stevie Wonder could see that shit was bad. Ugh.
Abu Dhabi and all that. Ugh.
And the racism, and oh my God, that movie was terrible.
No, I'm saying in theory that movie should have been better than what it was, but we're going to leave that alone.
So much better. Yeah, I'm like, oh no, you know what? We don't have time to turn this into a Sex in the City rewatch.
The first movie had Gia Marini's penis in it, so it had that going for it. His cock was very nice.
Anyway,
oh my God,
let's I don't even know how to move on. Let's just go in. There's no nice transition. I'm sorry to the listeners, there's no transition out of that. So let's talk about our next topic here, which is back on Broadway, from Broadway Cares coming back to ABC Daytime. Of course, this is a one night only streaming concert benefit for Broadway Cares and Equity Fights AIDS. It will reunite stars of All My Children, One Life to Live, and General Hospital. So, Alan, what do you think of ABC Daytime making a comeback for back on Broadway?
Well, not that they're still using daytime, so you recognize the daytime stars can bring in viewers and stuff like that. I always have fond memories of that, because you remember they had like shirtless men on that. I remember vividly David Gregory being shirtless in one of the performances of that. I still have those photos on my computer, so hopefully he gets shirtless again. Can I hear you, Casey?
He was shirtless Monday through Friday on One Life to Live. Where were you all those years?
I have those pictures on my computer as well.
Oh. Alan, I don't want to hear nothing else about your computer. So anyway, Tiggs, stars from All My Children that have been booked are Bobby Eakes, Melissa Claire Egan, Vincent DeRosari, Eva LaRue, Susan Lucci, Cameron Matheson, Eden Regal, Chrishell Stouse, and Walt Willey. So, Tiggs, what do you think about all those lovely All My Children stars reuniting with more news about the Pine Valley reboot coming out as well at the same time?
I think it's great. It's for a wonderful cause. I've always loved them doing that for Broadway Cares, and when they did the whole thing with the Campbell soup, heart, all that mess years ago. Hey, I'm always down for charity. It's fine. It's great. I still got my eye on that reboot. But yeah, like, it's great. It's just that, yeah, y'all can do nothing to keep the shows on the air. But when y'all need some, y'all sure be calling them out the woodworks. They checks better be looking good, too.
Say something. Say something.
Because that's my whole thing. Because my whole thing is ABC been saying this for 10 years now. We so sorry. We so sorry. We so damn sorry. We ain't going to give you your shows back. Hmm. And then they sticking point is, oh, well, it's too expensive. Kiss my ass. Don't no daytime soap need to cost $50 million a year no more. You're a fucking lie.
Well, clearly, I mean, on Days of Our Lives, they got Marlena living in government housing. I mean,
right, because you know, I'm pretty sure Days probably cost a little under $30 million a year, if that, to produce. They just don't want to do it.
Well, I mean, heck, remember years ago when Daytime Confidential had reported that alleged story that they were only making that show on like $700,000 an episode, allegedly? Mm-hmm. And of course, it's probably much less now, but my God, it doesn't take that much. So then, D, from One Life to Live, we've got Kristen Alderson, Kathy Breyer, Cassie DePaiva, David Gregory, Renee Ellis Goldsberry, Catherine Hicklin, Mark Lawson, Hillary B. Smith, Brittany Underwood, and among others still possibly being looked at and booked. So Dee, what do you think of all those One Life to Live stars reuniting?
Honestly, I don't like singing. I went to see Hamilton initially because, you know, my girl Evangeline was up in there. So you know I don't like it when people burst into song and dance. I've never been that person. Normally, whenever they do any type of musical episode, I'm fast forwarding through. You will get my money because it's for charity. You will get my views because it's for charity. But I also feel like you could have took that time and did One Life to Live and All My Children at night and put it in prime time, and we would have tuned in and watched it. I'm just saying, you have a whole cast there. You might as well go ahead and do it. Go ahead and
pick. Well, they're about to do All My Children at night.
I know, but what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, fool. Bring them back to daytime. Love you. Quit playing. Get these trash shows up off of the air and put daytime back on. You don't have to have a cast of 50,000 people, General Hospital, but I'm just saying they can get them back in daytime. So I feel like everybody should come out and support it just to show that people still care about the genre. And then we should all write in to the ABC feedback line, which I will put up on my Twitter page, and let them know. I don't care how badly produced this thing turns out to be, which I think it's going to be amazing. I'm just saying. Let them know that we want soaps on ABC. I'm just saying. I have an agenda and I'm pushing it.
Dee, you just sounded like the old guy who used to announce the All My Children promos. You were like, on ABC.
I know. Who do you think I was channeling when I said it?
You said, will Kendall find her way out of the bunker?
Tune no, in. Mine was more like, will Ryan finally die? Because I am so sick and tired of that fool right there. Tune in to All My Children. Okay?
Like, they don't realize, they really never realize, the moment y'all killed off Jillian, Ryan stopped.
You should have killed off Ryan way down.
They should just wrote out Ryan and Jillian.
Like, I've been Brian Montrella. He's the one that had the hard on for Ryan.
That was just a bullshit reason that they gave when they killed Jillian off. Well, the couple just got too popular.
What? There's no such thing. That's some.
Look, the best part. The best part about that reboot on Prospect Park was there was no Ryan in sight. He was nowhere, and there was no Greenlee.
Bless up.
Nowhere to be found.
Bless up. And that's crazy. That was the only time I ever liked Zach, because Kendall wasn't around.
Who do you guys want to play Kendall in the reboot? Do you want Sarah Geller or Alicia Minshew?
Well, okay, so I'd love both of them, of course.
You know you're not going to get no damn Sarah Michelle Gellar up on there. Quit playing.
Alicia, if they make Kendall like a regular character on the reboot, Alicia's not going to pull in primetime viewers. She's just not. But if it's just like a guest star, like, Monday, September 23rd, Kendall returns to Pine Valley for 3 episodes, then go with Alicia. But Sarah is the only one who would ever pull in primetime viewership.
Let's keep it real. Now, if they filmed in New York, maybe Alicia might be like, yeah, let's do it. But no, you know,
it was actually a really good Alicia Minshew impression.
I know, I've been practicing. So,
oh God,
I'm just kidding. No, I'm laughing because I have my Erica Kane doll that my aunt finally gave back to me. So that's why I'm sitting here, and I'm just sitting here in my little Pine Valley memories right now. But honestly, you know, I'm not down with this singing, but I'll give them my ratings. I'll give them that.
Yes. And then Alan, from General Hospital, we will have Bradford Anderson and Brandon Arash. And then Alan, Anthony Geary.
Oh God, you brought
Anthony back. And then here's a zoom in from Amsterdam.
Anthony Geary has been booked as well. So Alan,
Twinks.
The Anne Heche of Port Charles is coming back.
not the Anne Heche.
They could have kept him in whatever crypt he was in. I'm so down with Luke Spencer. Frizzy-haired rapist. I cannot.
Spiral perv. Alan, what do you think of those GH men reuniting? And do you think they could have gotten maybe one more person for GH or somebody?
Anybody.
That lineup sucks. I don't care about any of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really bad lineup, you know? That's a very lackluster lineup.
Brad Ranson can sing, but no.
I would have gotten Mara West because she has certainly impressed me with her Nurse's Ball performances. Even though I know, you know, it's so cute to read Mara's interviews. She's like, oh, I was so nervous. And then Frank was like, you're just going to do it. And she did it. And then she was amazing. So, you know, I would have maybe gotten her or anybody. I mean, they could have gotten honestly, what? Sonya Eddy should have been a part of this.
Oh,
you're not alone anymore.
Well,
you know what, I have no opinion. Let me just shut up and I'm just gonna support gonna support my One Life to Live crewmate and keep them moving. That's what I'm gonna do right now.
Pine Valley.
So yes, ABC Daytime Back on Broadway will stream for free February 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern on abc.com, of course. And then...
Yeah, because they ain't good enough for the actual network.
Let's rig up all of our devices to be streaming at the same time. We're going to make us some ratings.
Look, I'm going to get Jeff Quatnitz and...
I'm like, we're going to make us some ratings. We're going to make it happen today, baby.
Oh well, I'll be watching. I'm very interested to see what happens, and I'm also interested to see what General Hospital does to remember John Reilly in the coming months. John Reilly, who is best known for playing Sean Donnelly on General Hospital and his stint on Passions as Alistair Crane, among many, I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of television shows, even starting on As the World Turns back in the 60s, has passed away, of course. So, Alan, what are some of your fondest memories of John Reilly on our screens? And what do you hope GH will do with a special Sean Donnelly tribute episode?
So, John Donnelly's time on General Hospital was before my time. I only started General Hospital in the early 2000s. I mostly remember John Reilly from Passions when he came on as Alistair Crane after the original actor drowned in that pool. So I really liked him. He's actually a really good performer as Alistair. I remember when Alistair was married to Teresa, and that was actually a really good storyline that I should like.
Stevie, but I love it.
Just oh, nasty. Passions. Just, it was so gross.
Passions was so incestuous, I cannot.
It was worse than Beautiful. Yes.
It was worse than Bold and Beautiful, which is saying some. Oh, gosh.
It was just absolutely awful. So then, Dee, let's go to you. You were a huge Passions fan, of course. So what does this loss feel like to you?
Okay, well, I first got introduced to him on General Hospital back when General Hospital was really good. I grew up hearing about GH, and then when I got old enough to be able to watch it and understand what was going on, probably about 4 or 5, whatever, GH was always really good. My aunt will talk about it. My mom will talk about it. She'll still talk about the storylines. They talked about Sean, how he was a wonderful WSB agent, and then you see the ones that we have now, and it's like, okay. But, I mean, sharp, smart, action-packed, like, he was amazing. Like, he was one of my favorite characters. Him and Tiffany, they were my favorite. They were one of my go-to couples. So I love them together. You know, it was amazing. And him on Passions, boy, he pushed the envelope because you didn't see Alistair. Remember how you didn't see Alistair for the longest time? When they finally cast him and I saw who it was, boy, Passions went to the top of my recording. If I didn't record anything else, I was recording that. Like, he was so good at being bad, and he was doing bad stuff, but you didn't hate him for it. You were cheering him on. So that's how you know when you know that you're a good actor, when you can do bad stuff and still have people rooting for you and still liking you. So, I mean, he was just amazing, and I loved it. And I think that's part of why all of us that watch General Hospital, even the people that watched it on YouTube, when you go back and you look at those older episodes, why you get mad at what we're getting today. Because you had smart cops then. There were clear lines. Mobsters were bad. Cops were good. It wasn't reversed, where on General Hospital now, the cops are automatically the devil because, you know, it's all about the mob and, you know, all the other stuff. You know, like, it was, you had very clear lines with stuff. And they had location shoots and fight scenes. And Sean was always off doing WSB stuff. And then you got, like, guns and all kinds of crazy stuff. Things that we can't even see now because, you know, we're on the bargain basement budget. But it was just, it was a good time to watch General Hospital. It was a really good time to watch daytime. And he made it enjoyable. Even on Passions, when, you know, their budget was, like, probably slightly better than Days of Our Lives is now, they still made it work. And he
Passion's budget for a long time was really, really good. I mean,
yeah,
some of their special effects for the time period at the beginning were very good.
You remember a day in Harmony was like 3 weeks, so they saved our wardrobe because you had the same people wearing the same outfit for like 2 months.
Well, like Amelia Marshall came on here, she was like, I'm wearing this dress again.
I mean, you know, they did what they had to do, but I mean, I just, there aren't a lot of actors that just impact, that can go from one show to another and just make that seamless switch and do it really well.
Yes.
And so he was one of those people. And he will be missed. And I mean, people were still asking for Sean, still, up until when he passed. There are people that wanted him and Tiffany back on the show, do the cameos. And I mean, I get like why they didn't or whatever, but it's just your impact that you've been off of the show for like decades and people still want you back. You know, you're good at what you do.
Well, and I think, you know, the special thing about John Reilly is he was truly a masterclass for the male actor. You know, he made every single role feel so different. He was never repetitive in his performance. If something felt repetitive in writing, like, oh, he did that somewhere else, he didn't make you think that. You know, going back to 90210, to Sunset Beach, to, you know, for the 2 weeks he was on there, to Passions,
to GH. I mean, he never was somebody who got repetitive in his acting style. And I really hope GH does well with this tribute show. I am putting a lot of trust in them because the past few months have been good. I want literally flashbacks, and I want, you know, all the vets in place for that episode. And it needs to be a great send-off. So Tiggs, let's go to you. What are your thoughts on the passing of John, and what do you hope GH will do in the coming months to prepare for Sean's send-off?
I mean, yeah, my earliest introduction to John Riley was 90210. Like, when I started watching GH, him and Sharon Wyatt had just left, but I know that Sean and Tiffany were the shit. I knew that. Yeah, that was my first introduction to him, and yeah, he was great on Passions. I really do hope that GH does it justice. I hope we don't get any bullshit like we got when Susan Brown died and that little bullshit they did with Gail Baldwin, Lord. So hopefully, you know, you have Robin and Anna there, you have Lucas there, you have Bobby there, Laura there, Mac. Like, hopefully, just do it some justice. Just do it some justice. It will be nice if we can see Sean and Tiffany's daughter, like we did by that day player a few years back that they named after Anna. We probably not. This will be a good time to introduce a new character.
Well, and yeah, integrate her, you know, have her pop up at the very end of the show. Like, you know, at the beginning, Anna can be like, oh, she couldn't make it. And then at the end, you know, she can be like, hi, are you Anna? And perfect. There you go. Bring her in full time, like they should have done with Serena, you know, when they did the Lee tribute episode, how Serena was back. That should have been the time to get that character back on the canvas full time. So I really think they should do that with Sean and Tiffany's daughter.
Bring back Serena Baldwin. Please bring her back. Please.
Yes, please, please, please.
So much history.
Willow and Saga, get him out of there.
Get rid of the Mayo twins. Like, I seriously have to think about it to make sure I say the right name, and it should not be that way.
I do too. The only thing that distinguishes is I'm like, okay, one's with Michael and one's got the drug addiction, and even then I'm confused. I'm like, well, wait.
You know, Sasha was actually interesting when she was on the drugs, so I'm like, bring that back.
I'm like Carrie Bradshaw. Like, every time I have to think of them, I'm like, I couldn't help but wonder
what that girl's name was. Yeah. I need to stop. I said I was going to be nice today.
Well, Dee, I love when you continue what we talk about on the show on your Twitter account. So where can people find you on that little bird app we all love so much?
You can find me acting a fool at TMZDD because, you know, my vice president is black. Yes!
Hey!
Woo! So, yes, I will be acting a fool. There will be no soap talk tomorrow. Well, probably. Just some residual stuff, but I'm super excited. You find me on TMZDD acting a fool and holding news writers accountable.
Alrighty. And Tiggs, where can they find you, my dear?
The Ben Master Part 2. I had to change my name, but yeah, The Ben Master Part 2. I had to do some catching up, so I will be talking shit again soon.
And then the always amazing, very dashing Alan, where can they find you?
Dashing? I'm ugly as hell. But anyway, you can find me trying to get my fired at Alice Rafa. Yep.
No.
God. Where is that mute button?
Look, no mute in this season. You can find me at KCS Hutch, and you can find our show at the chat _ podcast. And, you know, just come around, talk soaps with us, and talk all of daytime with us. We always enjoy the company, and we will see all of you lovely people next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.